Sorry about the hacking this morning. I'm good one moment, next moment, I just tickles come back in my throat. All right, this morning we're looking at Galatians chapter 5 again, verse 22-23. Last Sunday we talked about being kind is cool. And this morning we're going to be talking about we need a little love in our lives. So as we look at your scriptures this morning, we understand that the Bible talks a lot about love and kindness and all of the fruit of the Spirit that we'll be looking at in the next few weeks. But as we look at these this morning, join with me again with verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. I'll read the first two, verse 23, and there it is, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Just this past summer at camp, we sang the song, Fruit of the Spirit. And we used a cucumber and a banana and all that stuff. If you want to be that, you can't be the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a different kind of fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is the spiritual things that God wants in our lives. So the fruit of the Spirit is this, I believe, is a spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is at work at all times in our lives. We may not always be conscious of it and yielding or surrendering to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is always at work. So the Spirit produces these characters, traits that is found in the nature of Christ. So all the fruit of the Spirit are the characteristics of Christ, and He fulfilled each one of those. And that's God's desire for us to do that as well. And they are the byproduct of Christ's control. So if we allow Him to live and work through our lives, then we will produce these as well. And we can't obtain them by just trying to get them without His help. We have to rely upon God for the fruit of the Spirit to be active. So if we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, then we just are join our lives in Him. We must join Him in these things. And as I was thinking about these particular fruit of the Spirit, I read 22 and 23, I was thinking too many Christians are giving are living life or defeated lives, and they don't think that they are capable of overcoming the temptations that regularly overwhelm them. And according to this passage, nothing could be further from the truth, because God gives us everything we need to be able to live and produce the fruit of the Spirit. So Christians have the power that many believers don't recognize, and Christians do. And if we don't understand it and recognize it, then we will not produce fruit of the Spirit. And with God's help, there is no reason not living a godly life. And I was trying to think of an example illustration, and I was thinking of about an elephant. They're powerful, aren't they? They're huge, humongous. And I was thinking about how an elephant, when they're very young, are trained, because they're just like a bulldozer. They can push through a 3-foot concrete wall if they wanted to. But when they're 2 years old, and the trainers, surprisingly, came up with a great idea, and it works, and it works to this day. what they'll do, they'll take a rope and they'll tie this 200-pound baby elephant to a tree. And they'll give him 6-foot rope, and it's heavy duty. And so they tie him to the tree, and what does the little fellow want to do? He wants to get loose, right? So he tugs, and he whines, and he squeals, and he just goes in circles around that tree trying to get loose. And he'll do this all day long, and day in and day out, to the point that he realizes he's not going to get loose. So what does he do? He lies down as he's defeated, and he gives up. On the other hand, you take a full-grown elephant. As I said, they're just like a bulldozer. They could push through a 3-foot concrete wall. But on the other hand, since they can do that, they don't even try to push through or get loose. And that's why they're so tame. You see them, they're always standing and not bulldozing their way through an obstacle or anything like that. So they don't think they can. So they don't even try. So with the Christian life, many Christians are the same place in the full-grown elephant. They have been overwhelmed by sin so often, or what I would say, temptations, that they think they are powerless and they can't escape their grip. But you can. We can. And the result is that they live powerless Christian lives when they have no reason or they think they can't. So, I think Paul comes along with the fruit of the Spirit as he was inspired, right? And love is an intense desire to please God. Now, in Galatians 5:6, it says, let me turn over there if you want to turn there with me. Galatians 5:6, turning back from verse 22, but it says, "For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." There it is. Faith working through love. We have to have faith that we can do anything. And nothing is impossible with God, is it? Without God, it is impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. So let us begin our message this morning with love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul begins with love, and I believe this is why. Love is a foundation. From the very beginning of creation, or at the very beginning of life, God loved us so much that he gave us life. And why do you think Paul begins his list of the fruit of the Spirit with love? Because it is a foundation. And could it be love is the most important? And I think it is. I believe it is. And I want to share with you why I think so. So in this passage, Jesus was asked, or is asked, an important question. It's a question that you might, you know, say that cuts to the chase. The scribe, you know, he heard Jesus talking to others and heard them arguing over different things. So the scribe decided he's going to ask or corner Jesus and try to get him to answer a question, maybe throw him off guard. But that's not going to happen, is it? So the scribe comes to Jesus this great question, and it's a kind of question that maybe even you and I might even want to ask ourselves. It's a question about priorities. So he asked, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? And of course, Christ comes back in Mark chapter 12, 28 and 33. Jesus said the greatest, most important commandment that God has ever was and is love. And if you should read Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 33, of course, Jesus begins and says, "O Israel, listen." And he was talking to everybody, but he certainly wanted Israel to understand, because the scribe here was asking the question. So he said, the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and what? Strength. And then the second greatest commandment, Jesus said, was to love one another. And that is the two greatest commandments. Now, think about all the other commandments that Jesus didn't deal with. When this question was asked, he could dealt with a lot of different answers to the scribe's question, but he dealt with love. Love is the foundation of everything. So he didn't deal with bearing false witness, not committing adultery. He didn't talk about any of those things, or even the commandment that we are to have no other gods before him. I mean, he could have took the scribe all the way back to Exodus chapter 20 and went through the whole list of the Ten Commandments, but he didn't. He dealt with love. So what is this commandment about love? You know, love is one of those things like kindness. It's hard to describe. It's something that you do. It's an action word. You put it into practice. So what's so special about love? And I want to explain why I believe that this is the greatest commandment. It's because if we love God as we should, then it would mean that we are going to seek and to please God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we're going to do. And at that point, the other commandments fall into place. All of the other commandments in the scriptures that we know or have memorized and we practice, it all falls back to the very first one of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we can get the love right, you know, all of the other fruit of the Spirit, all other commandments in this word is going to fall in place. Wouldn't this world be a better place? Wouldn't it? And we wouldn't have to worry. We wouldn't have to have policemen and law enforcement and all these rules and laws of land, homeland security, and all of those things. All other countries practice the love that Jesus talks about here. It would be a peaceful world. You know, we pray for peace, and the world wants peace. But it will not find it until the foundation of everything is based upon love. Now, if we love God as we should, we will want to please him. And at that point, the other commandments fall into place. And that reason, I believe Paul says, love is the foundation. Not only here, but in other places, like 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is that chapter known as? The love chapter. How many of you had to memorize that when you was in school? Or get in front of the class and say it? I did, Brenda did, because she had the same English teacher I had. But I had him before she did, Mr. Harmon. And he was also a pastor, but he was a teacher as well. And you've heard me say this before, and when you walk in this classroom, on all the boards, the whole circumference of his room, there was a blackboard. And in each corner, he had the word think, T-H-I-N-K, think. He wanted you to think. He didn't want you to speak out of turn or say something that you didn't know what you was talking about. He was a precise English teacher that wanted everything, so-so. But one of his requirements for you to pass his class was to stand in front of the class and quote 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the King James Version. And you didn't miss a tittle or a tot. You had to say it exactly. And that's how you was graded. I practiced for weeks and weeks and weeks memorizing that. And got up there and I did it. And I passed this class. Hope that wasn't the only reason I passed the class, but I did. And but you know, back then, you know, that was a principle that was allowed to be taught in schools. And it set the base of love, and not only there in the classroom, but it began back in homes, that the kids understood when they came to class, for they respected the teachers and the things that was being taught. And the Bible was a core of the classroom text. And I'm so thankful for that. That's the way I was raised, and I'm sure you was raised that way as well. Now things have changed. Not because the classroom and our teachers and administrative, but it goes much broader than that. And we need to honor and respect our teachers who are really trying to teach values and so forth. And I know you who are teachers here do that. So love believes that God always ultimately provides the best, and He does. And love hangs on to hope when the family is coming apart, right? Love doesn't change like hemlines or hairdos. And of course, men's hairdos change all the time, right? Mine changed over a period of time. And now I kind of like it. Get in the shower, I wash it down, get out, and it's dry. So, but you know, love is like an energizer bunny. It keeps on going and going and going and going, right? That's what we like to do. Don't we like to keep going and going and going? That's what God intends us to do. So in the end, only three things remain. And what is that? Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is what? Love. So Paul hit it on the nail head when he said faith, hope, and love. Faith is important, and hope is important, but love is the foundation. And the greatest of these is love. Now, brings me to the second part of this message, is the kind, God's kind of love. So when we use this word love, it can speak of an affection of a person feels for a friend. And there's three types, or more than three, mentioned in the Greek order of the language. But the Greek word for kind of love is for a friend. So a friendship is phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O, phileo. And it's was the love between friends who cared deeply about one another. And when I think about that kind of love, it was David and Jonathan that showed that kind of love. And if you remember last week, I shared how King David took his son, Jonathan's son, into his own palace and cared for him as he was his own son. So that's friendship love. That's the love that is demonstrated to others other than your own family, that you share the phileo love. And then there's a love of a family has for one another. It's a deep, rich, full love that went back and forth in the family. So when love is the greatest of all of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, as we are in the New Testament, God introduced a new kind of love that had not It had not been known before when he said, love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's the love that is the most often spoken about here in the New Testament. It's the agape love. It's simply described as godly love. There is no greater love than the love of God. Now, we try to love one another on the filial level there are even other Greek words for love. But phileo is the most common that we know, but the agape is the greatest of love. It demonstrates so many different things. It's the kind of love that God demonstrated when he went to the cross and died for our sins. In fact, the root of that word is used in a notorious and famous passage as what? John 3:16. In fact, the root of the word is used is for God's agape the world. Agape. So God so loved. That's what that word means, agape. So God so loved the world. This is the unselfish love that God demonstrates for us in the best way possible. Now, when Paul writes love, it's the first fruit of the Spirit. If you notice, when I read verse 22, he uses the word agape, the Greek word for love. God's love is a kind of love that the fruit of the Spirit is going to promote in our hearts if we are willing to allow him to do so. So the kind of love that the Spirit wants to produce in our lives is the highest form of love, because it is the love of God, godly love, as I mentioned a while ago. God's love, and not just for God, but also for others. So that's why he included that in Mark chapter 12, verse 33 and 34, when he said, love to God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And then the second one is to love one another. Now, Jesus did that on purpose. He made that point to the scribe and those that were standing around, the disciples and all the others that were listening, so that they will understand who God himself is and why he came into this world to demonstrate that going to the cross. But to carry that out in our daily lives is so important for us to do that. Now, let's look at the final one, love in the real world. So, when we're home or when we go somewhere, we go to a spiritual renewal, and we, like camp. Camp is a spiritual renewal, and it's like a revival. It renews your spirit and so forth. And then you come back to the real world where people hasn't really experienced that. And there's people in this world today that hasn't experienced the real agape love, the godly love, and that's of Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to, as Christians, introduce godly love into the world. And sometimes Christians are good at talking about love, right? But not very good at showing it. So that's not at all what God had in mind when he said love, and when he had Paul to pen love, joy, peace, and the following ones. So we know that because of what the scripture has to say. And look with me in John chapter 13, if you like. There will be where we'll look at the great apostle where he wrote. He said in verse 34, a commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Okay? He had said that earlier about himself. Love the Lord God with all heart, soul, and strength and mind. And now he said love one another. Now look at verse 35. It says, by this all men know that you are my disciples. Boy, that's That is an important statement right there, isn't it? What does that mean? People will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you have love one for another. Jesus never intended for us to view his commandment theoretically. Okay? He intended that we take it, his command, to be our defining characteristic as Christians. It defines who we are. God loved us first, then we are to pass that love on to one another. That's how the Bible describes it. If we don't genuinely care for each other, then according to what the Bible says, it's safe to say that we are not his disciples. Now, that's what the Bible says. That's not just saith Pastor Mike. That's what the Bible says. And I have to be reminded about that myself. There's a lot of people in this world hard to love, aren't they? Some people are. They just rub you the wrong way or say things and do things that you just don't like. You don't like it, but you still love them as Christ loved us. Now, the Lord wants us to understand that love is a priority. It is. That's why it's mentioned, number one, again. not an afterthought. Our love must be demonstrated in the real world, or it doesn't count. So a love for others that is talked about but never lived out isn't real love at all, according to the Scripture. So, now, in conclusion this morning, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, it's no accident that Paul begins with love. Remember, I said that it's not mentioned as fruits of the Spirit, but it's fruit. It's like it's one, singular, fruit of the Spirit, but there are nine characteristics of what Paul is explaining to us as Christians that we are to practice in our lives, and it begins with the foundation of love. If you don't have love, then you can't have the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, because the love is the foundation of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I believe that all the other fruit of the Spirit flow from this very one, love. And because Christ demonstrated it, first of all, God did, when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And he demonstrated, he showed it in every aspect of the Word. As I read through the Gospels, I'm always blown away by what the Scripture says, as the disciples witnessed, as Jesus went about doing good, he showed compassion to everyone. And that compassion means he showed love. He didn't always like what he saw. He would point it out in their life. When he'd heal somebody, he'd say, you know, you are healed, go and do what? Sin no more. That means you are to demonstrate what I just shared with you and cleansed you of your sin. I show my love to you by forgiving you of your sins, and therefore you go share the love that you just received through me to others. And what he would be saying to those, you go love someone else just the way I showed my love to you. And that's why the other fruits of the Spirit flow from this very first one. Man, it doesn't get any better than that in the Christian world. And we're in the world. Well, the Bible says that we're in the world, we're not of the world. But being in the world, that's what we are to do for the world, is show God's greatest love. Something you've got to practice, right? You've got to do it. And everything else will fall in place. Let us pray. Our Father God, again, we thank you this morning as we come together for your messages from your word. We're only instruments, and as we read and we study and we try to understand and interpret what your spirit revealed through prophets and apostles and teachers of your word. And as we learn it and as we draw the knowledge, we are to apply it as wisdom. You give us wisdom to apply it in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is one of the wonderful tributes to this world from you. It demonstrates all of the characteristics and the holiness and the righteousness that you portray. And as Christians, Lord, we have received your Spirit, and you live within us. And as we focus upon these fruit of the Spirit, and as we pray, Lord, which one of these do I need to work on the most? Well, you might tell us, okay, begin with love. And that's the foundation, and if we can get that one correct, all the others will fall in place. And I believe you did it for a reason, because you demonstrated your love from the very beginning. From Genesis 1 to John chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 1, that tells us all about what you're about. Lord, we've heard your words this morning. We've sung songs of praise. We've shared our love with one another through the fellowship of reading. And now as we come to this invitation this morning, Lord, we are to give back to you what you've given to us, ourselves. Because you tell us we are to be living servants. And that is our reasonable service. So however the Holy Spirit is working in each one of us, or speaking to our hearts, and that's how you work, through our heart. You, as we listen, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And we know that. And sometimes we just need to be still and listen. Sometimes we're on our back. We have to listen. But it's always good if we're upright, standing, looking into the heavens, or with our eyes, or on our knees, praying to you, Lord, be open and sensitive to your spirit. May we respond to your invitation this morning in a way that, Lord, will be pleasing to you and beneficial to us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song, "Near My God to Thee."